You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Mitzvah we're going to be analyzing is the mitzvah Kibud Av V'Em. Since this week we have the Aseres HaDibros, so I felt it's an interesting concept to get into. This is a preheat of Masechtas Kedushin, because in Masechtas Kedushin, that's where you have the major sugya of Kibud Av V'Em. And what I want to start off tonight with is the sheet that has on it the psukim right on top of the page, which is Mrs. Kibud Av V'Em Bizman Hazeh. And I want to go over some of the makaris to get ourselves into the topic quickly and to be able to see some very interesting shaylas and dilemmas, halach lamasa, that are brought down in poskim when it comes to this very important mitzvah. First of all, the Chumash mentions the mitzvah Kibud Av V'Em in two places. In the parsha of the Aseres HaDibros and Parshas Yisrael, you have the top pasuk, Kabez Saficha Vesimecha, Laman Yarichin Yamecha, Allah Dom Hashem Chachacha Nosein Loch. So over there we have the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. In Parshas Kedoshim and Sefer Vayikra, you have the sequel pasuk, Ish Imo Av Tiro, also Shapsos Et Tishmar, and Yashem Elokechem. So we have over here the mitzvah of Mora Av V'Em. From here, Chazal derived, when it comes to dealing with your parents, the two mitzvahs. One is the mitzvah of giving them kavod. The other mitzvah of demonstrating mora. What kavod and mora means, we'll see very shortly on the sheet, the Gemara in Kedushin defines it with very, very definitive definitions. But before I get to the definitions and the halacha lamasa, I have a Rambam from Hilchos Mamon right underneath this. The Rambam basically deals with the dilemma that many of the Mefarshei HaMikra have in Parshas Yisrael. If you take the Aseres HaDibros, you look at them very carefully, and you picture them on two different tablets, the way it's portrayed in most Bati Knesios that have the Aseres HaDibros, there are five on one side, there are five on the other side, and usually, in the rule of the finger is, the side with the Nechesh HaMalakecha and the four afterwards are Ben Adam Lamako. And the side dealing with the concept of the Issa, Geneva, and all of the other stuff, which is based on the left-hand side, are Ben Adam L'Chavero. The one on the other side is Ben Adam L'Makom. Usually divided between man and God, and between man and man. The fact of the matter is, you would have thought if that's the case, the Kibud Av V'Em, which is based upon human interaction, you would have thought it would have been on the side Ben Adam L'Chavero. But the fact is, it's on the side of Anoch Hashem Elokecha, which is Ben Adam L'Makom. So the obvious question is, what is the connected link between Kibud Av V'Em and the concept of the Kavod and the respect you have to give to the Ribbono Shel'Olam? So the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, in his Hagdamat Kibud Av V'Em, makes the following statement. Kibud Av V'Em, Mitzvah Seish Gedola, V'Chei Mora Av V'Em Shikola Kasev V'Chvod Memoro. To show how important Kibud Av V'Em is, the Ribbono Shel Olam made an equivalency between the kavod, the mora you give to him, and the kavod umora you're supposed to give to HaKadosh, give to your parents. Ksiv kabed es avicha v'esimecha, or ksiv kabed es Hashem ha'itcha. He says, ba'av imo, kasov ish imo v'otiro, ksiv es Hashem ha'itcha tira. So the Rambam ends up, kederach shetziva kavod, shmo v'hagadu ha'mora, So the Rambam says the reason that Ribbono Shel Olam did this is to make a halachic and hashkafic equivalency that the same type of kavod, the mora, you have to have for Ribbono Shel Olam. You have to develop a similar kavod and mora when it comes to your parents. Very peladic type of concept. And in order for you to really see how far this goes, when you're giving kavod to your parents, you're giving kavod to Hashem. If you look on the bottom of this page, all in the bottom, there's a Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Aleph on the base, where you have an Amir of Rav Yosef, the famous Rav Yosef we see continuously in Shas, making the following comment. Rav Yosef ki havi shoma kol kare, the ime, when he used to hear the footsteps of his mother coming in from an outside room towards him, even though he didn't see her yet, but he used to hear the footsteps of her walking. Amar, he made the following comment, Eike mikame shechina. Let me get up as the shechina is about to enter into my room. He looked upon his encounter with his mother as if he was encountering Kav Yochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning on a conceptual level, the realization that when you're giving kavod to your parents, you're giving kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he treated that encounter as if he was encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very, very telling statement. I want to show you something quite interesting. Turn to page 5 of these Ma'ar Mekomes you have in front of you, to another Ma'ar Chazal from the Gemara in Kedushin. On the bottom of this page, which is actually page 6, the last of the pages on this little handout, where I'm pointing up here, Rabbi, so you see where my finger is. This is the last page of this set of Ma'ar Mekomes. There are three statements over here. The one I'm pointing to where it says Gemara Kedushin Daf Lamed on the base. It says, "Bezman shod mechabed ava ve'imo, amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, malani aleichem ki ludarti beinechem v'chibduni." That the fact of the matter is, when a person gives proper kavod to one's parents, the Gemara says, "Conception Hashem considers it as if He was living in our midst, and you're giving kavod to Hashem." So you see over here, very Ma'ari Chazal showing you, "Bahashkafis haChazal." You're not just giving kavod to your parents, but you're giving cover to the Rabbeinu Shalom in the context when you're giving cover to your parents, and therefore treat it with that kavod harosh, treat it with that severity, kavod the meiro, mention by Hashem and mention here, to show you the equality between them. Now, what I want to do, to go one little step further, if you look at the second Ma'ar Mekomes I gave out tonight, which you have basically the Sefer Chinuch on top of the page, the Sefer Chinuch gives a second connection between parents and the Rabbeinu Shalom, but this is the famous chinuch of the Tam HaMitzvah, the Sherash HaMitzvah, and he says on the Mitzvah Kibbud Avim, listen to what he says, what he calls is the Sherash HaMitzvah. Sherash HaMitzvah Zuh Sherai Lo Adam Sheyakev Yigmal Chesed L'Misha Osim Otova V'lo Yiyanova V'Nestaka Kofi Toiv. When a person is quite obviously thinking about the relationship he has to his parents, he has to realize what, in fact, his parents did for him, all the chasadim, all the tevis, all the goodness. He should not, chas v'shalom, make believe nothing happened, never received any benefit, and violate the isa being kafui tov, non-appreciative. Shezu midera u'musa v'tachas l'neil of kiva anoshim, v'shehiten alibu ke'av eim heim sibis hayosa ba'olam. Without them, you would not be here. When he thinks about this, he'll come, ultimately speaking, to have hakaras atayv to Hashem, shehu sibas of sibas kol avosav ad adam harishon. Because when you realize and find to the midah hakaras hatov between you and your parents, they will allow you to find to the midah hakaras hatov between you and the Rabbeinu Shalom. He's the cause for you and the entire world that preceded you to come into existence up in Gadda Rishon. Shotzil avra ha'olam v'sapach tzarcho koyoma v'amidu amaskanusa v'shlemus eivarov. If we're healthy, we're able to function, it's all the chesed of Hashem. Nosam b'nefesh yadas maskelash ulei nefesh chanakel yekusus keferet ein havin. If it wasn't for the normal selam of the kim, the nefesh Hashem gave us, we would be no worse or better than a horse and a donkey, etc. etc. V'yarech b'machshav tog kamer kamer roi lo lahazor b'avodas baruch hu. Once we perfect the kibbutz of aim on a tangible level between Adam and Chaver, in this case Adam and an Adam, and you've basically fine-tuned that appreciation, I can then turn that to my relationship to Hashem, which is a much more difficult thing to do, and use the Hakkaras Hatov in that direction as well.
Can I ask you a question?
Right ahead. We just started. No.
I just want to know how to reconcile this with Maimon Chazal that says, Tov Mishal Nivra. A person is better off not being
born. That specific Maimon Chazal you're talking about, which is a maimer in brachas, a maimer in Maseches Erevim, is a bigger picture dealing with a different issue entirely. And that is, how many people in their spiritual life in this world are successful of being kovish the Yetzirah and using their spiritual intellectual qualities in the positive direction of Avedas Hashem? How many people succeed in that mission? How many people fail in that mission? And therefore, the machlokes by Sila Beis Shammai was it better that we should be created and undergo that nesayim and get the reward afterwards? Or is it better perhaps we shouldn't basically have been created, because most people in the world, when you look at the numbers, are miserable failures. So maybe it's better we shouldn't have undergone this specific nesayim, because most people don't succeed. So that was the famous machlokes. Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, what was the way we should look upon this? The Gemara finally ends up and says that maybe in the numbers game, we perhaps most people fail this specific Messiah. But the fact is that whether we should have been born or not been born really is not up to us. The fact is that Kochachai, Kochames, we're here whether we like it or not. So now, no, because the fact of the matter is, if you succeed, see, you then zocha to an eternal existence next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for eternity, which is the good she'ein kamohu, which we can't appreciate in this world because we can't figure any world better, finer, more wonderful, more magnificent than all the wonderful pleasures and things we have in this world. But to have a existence of chiyus nitzchi with the tanig that we get in the world to come, and all those eternal benefits, which would not have been the case if we weren't born, we weren't created. That is something in the bigger picture, something that we understand and comprehend as being incredible.
So you're resolving that issue in favor of saying it's better to be born.
Yeah, because without being born, you would never have the chance to get to that Tanig Mitzri. But that's what Chazal talking about in the absolute. How many people in this world fail miserably? Just look at the stats.
Is a mamzer mechuyev in kibbutz?
Absolutely. 100%, the Gemara says. Because without his parents, he wouldn't have been here. And did the neshama come down? Are you given... The fact is, a mamzer tamad chacham is the head of a koyin amoris. The Gemara says, Mesechtes harius.
What about osamaisa amcha?
What?
He could tiny that his parents are not osamaisa amcha.
That we're going to get to that. These are all questions in tonight's year. But the fact is, there's no question. Let me continue now. So we therefore see from this, the reason I quoted this Sefer Mitzvah is not just because I want to play around with Tam Mitzvahs. The Chazal point out, we therefore see over here another hashkafic linkage between parents and quite obviously and between the Rabbi Neshallah. Chazal point out at the end of the day, Gimel Shufim Ba'odam, the three partners in the creation of man, the Gemara Masechtas Nida, your parents basically are the ones who contribute the chromosomes for your DNA. Together they give you your 46 chromosomes, your physicality. The neshama that Tzelem Elokim has given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in that respect, there's a shutfis between the Rabbi Neshama, our parents, and our specific creation. So if we have three entities in our creation, all deserve Kibud Av Aim, all deserve what obviously the concept of Kavod Meira is another phenomenon. Why am I mentioning all of this? Because there's a very famous Gemara in Masechtas Kedusha I'm going to get to now. And if you look, Rabbi Yisrael, on this sheet we were looking on just now, where you have the Sefer Chinuch, turn to the last page, a Gemara Masechtas Kedusha. The Gemara Masechtas Kedusha, if you look where it says 3a, talks about the power and the universality of the concept of Kibud Av Aim. And the Gemara quotes a story, and it starts off with the following question. Where you see quotation B, about two lines above this, you have the question of the Gemara, Boimine Merav Ula Ad Heichot Kibud Av Aim. How far is a person supposed to go in the concept of Kibud Av Aim? So Amulam, he said to the Chachamim who asked the question, Tzu'u ur'u ma'asa oivi chachom echad ba'ashkelah. Think about what this specific guy did who lived in Ashkelah. The Dama ben Asina Shmo. Pamachas bikshu chachamim pragmatia. They wanted to buy some very precious merchandise. We'll see very shortly what the merchandise was for the Beis HaMikdash. Beshishim ribo, a tremendous amount of value, of profit was going to be created. And the problem was, when they went to this specific person, the key to open up that specific safe where this object was contained, the key was under his father's head, and his father was sleeping. and he did not want to wake him up and cause him tzar, and therefore he basically lost the ability to sell this precious object to make a tremendous profit. The Gemara basically doesn't tell you the pratim, but the Gemara then restates the ma'isa and fills in the gaps. Amar Yehuda bar Shmuel, shows Elazar heichan kibud ava ein. Now we're going to have the actual pratim. They wanted to buy the two major jewel rocks that the Kohen Gadol wore on the shoulder straps of his eifel, two gigantic stones upon which you basically had the Sheamus of Hashem engraved inside, the Sheamus of Klal Yisrael engraved inside. And the value of this deal was going to be Shishim Riba Schach. Rav Gahana Masli, something now was Shimon Ribim, is even more than that. Mavteach Haimunach Tach Rosho Shel Aviv, Velot Tziras. You see over here, you have the replication of the case, but now we know the type of merchandise and the value of the profit that was going to be made. Lashana Cheres, but there was a sequel to this. Lashana Cheres, Nasin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Scharo. This guy was paid back. No, the paraduma edro. He had the schus of a paraduma being born in his eider, in his flock. So we see over here that the Rabban Hashem paid this guy back, and the next year he found the paraduma, and the paraduma could have fetched maybe 10 times, 20 times the value of the profit of the gem. He says, I only want what was basically, I wasn't able to coop them, I'm not going to basically hold you over a barrel, etc., etc. So the Gemara makes the following statement. If a guy who's not mitzvah, it's not found in the Zay mitzvahs. If he's not mitzvah, and he doesn't have a lesson, a person is a mitzvah isa who are Jews in the mitzvah kibbutz of aim. Al achas kama v'kama, the sky is going to be paid because of filling the mitzvah of kibbutz of aim. Now, what I always found fascinating with this is when it comes to dividing the finding the parameters of the mitzvah derives of kibbutz of aim, we go to a person who's not even mitzvah the mitzvah, right, and say, look what that guy did. What that guy did defines how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. When do we ever find in Shas, if you think about it for a couple of minutes, any place, that when it comes to finding the parameters of a Jew in their halachic conduct, if it just so happens a guy does the same thing as a mitzvah, he's mechaven, you know, he thinks it's a nice idea, a nice concept, so his activity should therefore be mechayiv to set the parameters of how we're supposed to do a mitzvah, mechayiv to do. What? Yeah, but the fact of the matter is, afal pi kein, you never, under normal circumstances, even though you'll say, well, there's an outside dimyon, but to say that what he did is a mechayiv, we're mechayiv to do, how far, you will not find any other sequel in Shas, I can tell you that. So the question is, why did Chazal do that?
What about the B'nai Noah?
What? That is the Ben Noach. He is the Ben Noach.
No, I mean
Ben Noach and not chayv in kibud
avein. But Shem and Chama and Yafes, that whole ma'isim was about kibud
avein. No, but they're not mechuyev in kibud avein.
Maybe that's why we use the example, because the first time we see kibud avein is by the children of.
But the question is, afal pi kein, you never use a guy to determine it. I mean, weren't the one from Jews who were makabed yet got it? This guy over here. There has to be a greater connection than just an accident.
Well, a little bit of proof that Hinoch, because he's doing it out of gratitude.
Okay, so this is what I want to point out to you. Barashi Kivantecha. We're thinking, you know, on the same wavelength tonight. We didn't set this up either. This is it. What basically is the combination between what we do and they do in this context is that the logic behind why the Chin Chinuch says we have to give Kibud Av Ve'Aim, Hakaras HaTov. Hakaras HaTov is not a Jewish concept exclusively. Hakaras HaTov is a universal concept. How do I know this? Because the famous Rabbeinu Bachya Ibn Pekuda, the author of the Sefer Chovos HaLevavos, which was in the time of the medieval time frame, was the most popular, powerful Musa Sefer that existed. So one of his sha'arim, he analyzes the following question. What is perhaps the most powerful concept in the Torah when it comes to Hashkafas HaTorah? Give me the most powerful. So the Mefarshim usually say, well, if you're going to start looking, go back to Bryas HaOlam. When it came to the first major chet of mankind, what was the major chet? Eating of the Eitz Hadas Tevera. So if anything, you would see how bad that was, the ramification on all future generations. So the question is, what was the chet of the Eitz Hadas Tevera? So if I ask you the question, you ask me the question, I would say, Hashem said, don't eat it, and you ate it. I mean, isn't that the chet of the Eitz Hadas Tevera? So says the Sefer Chinuch, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar ibn Kudah says, the major chet in that context was what happened when it came to Hashem's discussion with Adam after the event. When Hashem came quietly, without a tumult, and he said to Adam, why in the world did you do what you did? Why did you do?
A woman.
So instead of saying, Chatosi Peshati, he says, Ishish and Asatili, Hishigamili Lechta, the woman you gave me, she caused me to sin. So in Abachia, Ibn Bakuda says, you know what the chet was? He was kafui betov in the matana of Chava that Hashem created, where he says, Latovi Asim Avadis, Ezek and Egdo, which was an incredible matana taiva. So instead of saying, I'm taking responsibility for my sin, I mean, she didn't throw it down his throat, and therefore, he said, she, that woman, caused me to sin. You know, I guess that set the prototype for the rest of mankind. You know, always blame your wife, or she blames her husband for their sins. But the fact is, he says, the chet of the Eitz Hadas HaTov was the chet of Kafi Tov. Kafiyas HaTov is the worst avera in Hashkafas HaTorah. Hakaras HaTov is one of the greatest mitzvahs of the Torah. Now, if that's the case, what he's telling you is Adam v'Chava were b'nei Noach. They were not Jews yet. And therefore, they were an example, according to him, to the major Hashkafa HaTorah that applies to Jew and non-Jew alike, that the most important concept is to be Makar Tov. The greatest avera a person can be is basically what? Be Kafui Tov. So once I saw that, I said to him, what he does is therefore answers the question I posed before. If that's a universal concept, and then taking the Sefer Chinuch, as you wanted to say, Tzvi, that the major Hashkafa behind Kibbut Rav Ein is Hakaras HaTov and not being Kafui Tov, once that's the case, you can therefore learn the concept even from a goy, because when it comes to the Hashkafa, why we have to give Kibbut Rav Ein, that's a universal concept that applies to everybody. If that's the Sheirish HaMitzvah for us, so even though a goy is Einu Mitzuva V'Isa, nevertheless, what he did demonstrates how far Hakaras HaTov and not being Kafui Tov applies, which he's Mechuyev to show. He's not Mechuyev in Kibbut Rav Ein as a Mitzuva V'Isa, but the concept of Hakaras HaTov and Kafui Tov apply, that the Africa's ability on a universal level to derive what he does and apply it to us, it's not so absurd and crazy as I portrayed before. You can therefore find a contextual linkage. I bring a raya from a human being who hashkafically was mechavin, what Kibbut Rav Ein is all about. And that's how far we as Jews, Alach's Kama V'Kama, since we're Mitzvah Issa, we have to go in showing the Hakaras HaTov and not being Kafui Tov, to show the fine-tuning of Kibbut Rav Ein. If you hear what I'm saying to you. It is for this reason that later on in our Gedolei HaPosim of contemporary vintage, for instance, Avadi Yosef, he was asked the question, if a guy converts to Judaism, we have our principal Gershon, his guy Kukatan Shinoi Ladami. So on a halachic level, ironically, we've learned many times, we've had shirim up on this, you're no longer after that Geiris really related on a level of father, mother, brother, and sister to one another, because the Geiris gives you a new halachic existence.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Now, the question he poses is, can a child who underwent conversion, later on, when he becomes a Jew, what about his responsibility of giving kavod u'morah to his non-Jewish parents? He's kakat m'shinoi l'dami. Is he exempt? Now, wasn't chayv when he was basically a guy. He's any mitzvah eisa, but now he's a mitzvah eisa, but his parents are no longer on certain levels halakhically his parents.
But our karsa tov still remains.
What? What? Yes. So therefore, he points out, based upon what I just showed you now, that als the mitzvah kibud av v'aim b'teres achiv mitzvah als gavra legavra of a father to a daughter to a mother and father, from that he might not be mechuyev. But the concept of hakaras atov and kafi toiv is still there, because without his parents creating him, he wouldn't be here. So therefore, the hashkafas atera that requires kibud av v'aim, he should take upon himself to do. And then if he paskins in the affirmative, that you want to make sure, number one, there's hakaras atov and hakafi toiv, that's number one. Number two, he says, there's another principle we're concerned about. And that is, besides hakaras atov and hakafi toiv, the Gemara asks the question, why is it that we are so concerned that he should deal with his parents in a bekavedik way? Because goyim usually bekavedik goyim treat their parents with kavod. Why, when he undergoes the geris, he says, "Kadesh shalal yomru, sheba mekedusha chamur lekedusha kala." That when I was a guy, echarein gafir in a certain type of holy way, now I became a Jew, I could be mezalzel and everything. That would cause a chil Hashem, as if when you become a Jew, you become desensitized from these things. So relying upon the technicality, geshen is gaya, to diminish your feeling of achrayis and spiritual quality and connection to your parents. If a guy wasn't taught, did still have to give your parents covered, it would cause a chil Hashem, and people would think that Judaism is not as powerful in our relationship to our parents as their gayishkeit, and therefore that has to be careful. It's based upon that that he then paskins, should a child who undergoing conversion say Kaddish for his parents, Goyish parents, when they pass away? Should he say Kaddish? And he answers, yes. Yes. Because of Hakaras Atov, and because Kadesh Shalal Yomru. If your parents were going sick, should I run to the Torah and make a Mishab Berich for them? He says, 100%. The concept of Hakaras Atov, the concept of Kadesh Shalal Yomru. Should I should Shiva for them? Same exact thing. In his mind, he feels that Hakaras Atov and Kafi Tov is such a universal principle. And also Kadesh Shalal Yomru. He felt halacha lemaaseh, you have the responsibility and achrayus to do such. As kavod hashamayim, kavod to your parents on the biological hakaras atayv sense, and that's the psukim he gives in Zichavas Das, just to show you how far Chazal extend this. Now,
does he say what name to use?
What?
Does he say what name to use?
If the name is Mary or Johnny, you say Mary and Johnny. You're not mechuyev to give him a Hebrew name. Now.
You can have the name.
Yeah. Now, let's go back to the other chaveres. Let's go back to this. Yeah.
Isn't it likely that sleeping father would want to be awakened rather than losing $600,000?
Excellent question. Hear the question he asked. When you're talking about kafi tov and hakaras atov, he asks a very lungish question. He didn't want to wake his father because he didn't want to cause him pain. So his question is, isn't the father going to have more pain that he's going to figure out he was sleeping? You didn't wake me up so we can make $700,000, $1,000 or $1,000,000. That's right. Not going to give his father more pain.
If it were prearranged. Right. If it were prearranged.
No, so the question, so the Mepharshim asked you a question.
Prearranged.
So they say, no, they give a different answer. They say he knew his father's disposition and they were very, very wealthy. And whatever the profit margin of he was, he knew his father's sleep was more precious than the profit margin. They didn't need the money to survive. They were Trump already. So the fact of the matter was, they claimed they're always rich. So the fact of the matter is, he knew in his father's disposition that be greater tsar in waking him up than having the profit. That's why, subjectively, that was the response.
He didn't have to tell his father.
Well, his father would have known.
Why?
Because he would have to wake his father to get the key, so his father would be up.
No, but if he didn't wake his father, he didn't have to tell his father, you know, I could have made a lot of money, but I didn't wake him up.
That was the payment, but he passed the deal.
What?
Could a father be Michael on Moira?
Yes. Well, the fact of the matter is, we're going to live very short, the father could be Michael on Kavod Vimar if he wants to. Moira
also.
Yeah. He could be on both. He can't be Michael on his Bezayim. But he can be mochel on kavod v'mar. I'll get to that very shortly. Now, let's continue. If you look back in the yeshita, the first chaveret I gave out, so what's interesting is the Chayyadam points out, in his hagdama to these halachas, I mean, these are special sheets I made, so you have everything we'll look at over right in front of you, that the kima mitzvah of kibud av aim, in the garm of halacha, he says the mitzvah is mekuyim b'maisa b'dibo b'machshava. When it comes to the Tzuchus HaMitzvah, rabbis, we're now back to this page. Keitzad. There's a Maisa Diba Umachshav. You'll see very shortly when it comes to the Kima Mitzvah, we do it in three of these types of formats. And when it comes to the Machshav, what's the Machshava? Listen to this. Shemechavdim Belibo Shehem Chashuvim Be'enav Ubelibo Dahainu Sheyidim Be'enav Shehem Gedolim Lichbo Aretz Av Shebenei Shah Benei Adam Einim Chashuvim Klal. In your mind, subjectively, you should look upon your parents as the great personalities on the face of this earth. To you, they are chashuvei olam. It's subjectively how you're supposed to perceive them, not how they're perceiving the community at large. So therefore, you have to look upon them as incredible people. That's why the concept of being mishamish your parents, as the mechaber chavdaretz, is accentuated. If you look over here at Baisa, where I put my finger on the page where it says Rambam over here, the Rambam over here. So the Rambam says, and the Hilchas Mamrim, Mishamsha b'shadvarm shemishamshin b'hen es harav oimei kederach shu oimei b'nerach, which means you mamish give them servitile activities. You stand in front of them, you mechabed them as if you were mechabed a master, a rav, or a person who's a gadol. That's the service you give their parents, even though they might be amaretzim gemurim and maybe klapi the gas, not worthy of it, but that's not your asik. Your asik is to look upon them attitudinally as a tremendous gadol.
But Simon Reish Mem does provide for if the parents mishin detruf.
I didn't get to that. We're gonna get all of that at the proper time. Now, oifin kiyam mitzvah. The next paragraph. What's the way you do it? So Chazal, when it comes to dibur v'maisa, we already did with machshava. Dibur v'maisa has two categories, and this is a paraphrase from the Gemara Masechtas Kedushin. What is Meira? What is Kavod? What is Mara? So Mara is Lo Oimib Ben B'Kavod. We shouldn't stand in our parents' place. Lo Yosh, we shouldn't sit where their place is. Lo Yisaisa Devarav, I shouldn't contradict them openly. Lo Machriya means I shouldn't say I'm agreeing or reaffirming as if they need my reaffirmation or my agreeing. The Rambam adds Lo Yikula B'Shmo, I shouldn't call my father by his real name. Lo b'chayiv lo b'maisa. El, I should say upon my father Abba Mori or Ima Morasi. The Mefarshim have an interesting lamdisha question. If you're a gabbai for the shul, and tonight when Rabbi Arlin was giving a drush, we found out that the gabbai for the shul is really God. Remember we learned the Torah, it's given out they see also the three people when it comes to. So if you remember, he quoted the Levush in the Mishnah Berurah. So he says, why do we have three people? The Baal Kaira, the gabbai, and the Baal Aliyah. The Torah was given with three, the Rabbeinu Shalom Moshe and Klal Yisrael. Moshe was the Sar, so the in-between person. Hashem was the Nosen, Klal Yisrael, the Makabel. So the Mishnah requests the Levush that the person who basically gives the Aliyah is the Gabbai, he's Kalapi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We call him the Godfather. The person who is a Baal Kaira is like Moshe, he's the Sar, so he's the one giving it over, communicating it. And the Baal Aliyah is connected to Klal Yisrael. So, what?
Who's the
Gabbai
Shane?
So I told him earlier later on, because he asked the question, so I said, no problem. The real Gabbai is the Godfather. The other Gabbai Shane is the executioner. He's the one who carries it out. Now, in any event, let's get back to this. So the Rambam points out when it comes to your parents, the Gemara doesn't mention, the Rambam does, I have to say, Abba Mori Ima Morasi. So the Poskim had a very simple question. If I'm the Gabbai, I'm calling people up to the Torah, and now I have my father in front of me, how do I call my father? Should I call him by his real name? Calling by his real name is a violation of Meira. So Vus Tutman. So the Mefarshim point out there was a machlekes between Achreinim, whether by saying Abba Morasi, and I mention his name, the fact I preface his real name with Abba Morasi, does that take away the problem? Some Achreinim say it doesn't. You have to call up Abba Morasi without mentioning his name, or maybe have the Gabbai Sheni to call up. The other says, now say Abba Morasi, and then your father's name. The old Psak of the Poskim over here is like Mandama, where you say Abba Morasi, and you mention his name. Once you say Abba Morasi, and you show him the dignity of the Kavod, then you can mention his real name, because mentioning the name also is a Maila, Kalapi Maila.
But somebody asks you your name.
What?
My name is Sri Ben Alta, right?
You have to mention the name.
So I have to mention my father's name, right? You called up.
We're not talking. We're talking about the problem. That you're mentioning your father's name that as a Jew. That's not the problem. But you're calling up your father now.
I understand that. Yeah. I'm using my father's name.
So that, but that's your name. That's your name. That's not the problem. The problem is calling him by. The problem is calling him by his name. That's the.
But I'm adding to it. That when somebody asks me my name, I have to.
Yes, that's your name. Absolutely. That's not the problem.
That is the problem.
The problem was calling him by his name, not mentioning that you are named as your father. He's calling him by his name. That's the problem. Now, so we pass in Abba Maras. Whoever's a Gaba here, it's Abba Marasi, and you mentioned that's the way we pass him. Now, and it, so therefore that's considered Mora. What's Kavait? This is tricky. Kavod is machal, you feed them. Mash, you give them to drink. Malbush, you help them clothe themselves. Machasa, they cover the body. Machal is the most, you take them in, you take them out. I'm supposed to force my parents that I should feed them. I'm supposed to force my parents that I should dress them. I mean, what is going on over here? So Chazal point out that the kavod, which the Gemara mentions over here, is kavod I give to preserve their dignity. This kavod is, I'm preserving it. If they can't eat and drink themselves, I have the responsibility to feed them to maintain their dignity. They can't put on their clothing properly, I'm supposed to help them to put on their clothing. They can't walk outside, they need somebody to push them. Kavod means maintaining their dignity, not asking a stranger. I should run to do such, which means not only do I have to give active moral respect to my parents, in the way I deal with them, in their full kachas. But when nebuch, their kachas start to fade. And the question is, who should take care and help them in their physical needs? I should realize, kavod means, instead of getting a hiring or an aide to do this, if I'm capable, I have the time to help them get dressed, to help them move. That's how far kavod goes, and it comes to the din of kavod over here. You and I, if we interpret the Gemara, I said kavod means something else, giving somebody respect. Over here, this is not giving respect, this is the question, and maintaining the actual respect of a person, their respectability, by feeling that once the kechus wane, you'll take care in the same way when you were a little baby and growing up. Who maintained your respectability as the babula? Diapering, feeding, cleaning you. That's what a parent does to a child. You now have a role reversal when it comes to old age, accepting, etc. We're going to get to a Rambam later on, how we know we can give a father over to a nursing home, a mother nursing home. At what level does that have to kick in? Because normally kavod would mean you got to do it rather than in your house rather than giving a person away. When does institutionalization start? We'll see that very later. Now, an interesting question the Gemara asks. The Gemara, if you look right on this, asks the question, who has to pay for the things you do for your parents? If you have to be machal, mashka, malbish, machas, machmotzi, who pays the cost for all of this? Let's say, for instance, you have to, you know, basically... you have to fund certain things to give them the ability to do this. So the Gemara passes in Masechtas Kedushin and the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam bring it back. Mishel Aviv. You first use your parents' resources before you come to use your resources. And that's the way the Rambam Shulchan Aruch paskin. Now, what happens if the father doesn't have, the parents don't have? So the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam paskin, if they don't have, Ein La'av. So even if you have to force the children to give their resources to do such, you do such. This comes under the Gedder, Chazal say, Aniya Ircha Kodman. If it has to go down to tzedakah level, there's a big mitzvah to share your tzedakah money with your parent. Exactly. Oh, excellent. So now we have the makar for that. Aniya Ircha Kodman. Now, the Ramah then brings down, and I have that quoted as well, what happens if you have a number of children? Do they have to share the financial oil equally? So there are more paskins and reish mem. Im yesh labarim rabim, mechash l'timam in shulhem, mechsasam hashir, mechsasam aniyim, mechayiv mehashir mi'uvat. Which means you make a valuation who has more capacities to afford this and less. And you proportionally make the cheshbon. If some children don't have any capacity, period, they're exempted, and the richer children then have the achrayis. So this is what, but that's only if the parents don't have resources. If the parents have resources, their resources can be used first, and there's no zilzu in doing such when it comes to that. Now, turn the page, Rabbi Yisai. This specific Dhamma ben Asina is quoted in the Gemara Kedushin on the page I showed you before, vis-a-vis another story. And interesting enough, the second story is not so famous, but the story that I'm going to show you on page number 2, which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, is a description of what happened to Dama ben Nesina. It seems Nebuch, his mother went a little crazy in her old age. And the next, on top of the page, you have a quotation for the Rambam in Shulchan Aruch in the following Hechatim. So how far does the key mitzvah of Meirah v'Kavod go? You're sitting at your table. Your mother and father come along, who are already senior citizens. They take a purse of beautiful gold, expensive coins. Hishlichu b'fun of liyam, and they threw it into the yam. You'll never ever recoup it. Who knows how much you lost? So the Shulchan Aruch says, lo yachlimem, you shouldn't embarrass them. Lo yitzar b'fnei, you shouldn't even show pain in front of them. V'lo yichos, kenegdom el yikabok gzeres akasa v'yishtek. That's a pretty, it's a very, very difficult thing to do. But then, look at the next example. This next example over here happened to Dama ben Nesina. Afilu hayolavish begadim chamudos. He was wearing a tuxedo. V'yayishi barayish. He was sitting at the head of a dinner, front table, b'fnei akal. Uba ava v'ima. V'karu begadav. And they started tearing his tuxedo. They have canes, they start hitting him over his head. Yarkim Befunda, they were spitting in his face. What should be the response? What was the response of Nosim of Dama ben Nesina? Lo yachlimein ela yishtok v'yirah mipacha b'melech ma'balochem sh'tzivah b'kach shilum melech basav adam gazolav dava shilma tzara yesem izeh lo hayi yochel afachis b'davar That's Peledek. I mean, that requires tremendous abilities to control yourself. The Gemara describes this Dama ben Nesina once had that event with a senior citizen mother of his. She tore up his beautiful clothing. He had incredible. He was in a very prestigious dinner. He sat and he was makabel. He was mechaven al tzakaras atayiv, not to do anything. That's quoted in Shulchan Aruch as a dimion how far Meir Rekavah goes when it comes to appearance. It's Peledek, it's really Peledek. Now, the question over here is, can the child, he's not supposed to say anything, do anything negative, if they caused them a tremendous hefset money, like if they threw this expensive thing into the yam, tore up his beautiful clothing, so the question is, can he demand the parent quietly behind the scenes pay him back for the loss? So the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, on this halacha, publicly he can't do anything to mevayish them, to mitzar them.
Really? He can't take them to a
bet? No. Publicly, he can't when it happens. Verbally.
No, I understand that, but later on.
So the Ramah says that if, however, there was tremendous financial loss, privately, he can go to a din Torah, go to a Rav, to try to make sure that he's reimbursed. But it has to be done with derech kavod, not screaming, yelling, which means his public response has to be shtika, kavod v'mayra. But the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Hashem's shchin is there, but that doesn't mean I have to suffer a loss. And since in yikibur avei, mishal avav v'imah, first before your resources, I can recoup the resources. That's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Nobody argues with the Ramah when it comes to that. Now, the question is, should parents conduct themselves in this respect? I mean, are parents allowed to go that far, hitting their kids? So I have underneath this the Rambam text from Hilchos Mamre. So the Rambam says the following. This is the Rambam quoting. Alpha pishut netzdas tabino. Even though Rabbi Yisai will mitzuvah to give merve covered in the level the Shulchan Aruch just described. Also, adam lahachbit ola abanav. Parents shouldn't misuse this privilege. Abi machbit ola. Which means to say, this goes back to your question, that parents shouldn't say, well, I'm the parent, you got to listen to me and become mamish, you know, a tremendous tyrant and cause them a terrible life by telling them to do this and that, you don't do it, making them feel their mamish not worth anything. A parent should misuse this privilege. And many times, if the parent sees the child is not on that darga, be mochel on your covered mayra, the child shouldn't be suffering in shemayim because you're not as sensitive as you should be.
What?
So yeah, that's the next thing. To show you this, a person who beats up his older child, they used to put the parent in nidui. Exactly what you said, Chazin. But this depends upon the age level of the child. The Mefarshim point out, once the child reaches, the Ramah says in his 20s, using corporal punishment, like you might have done when he's a kid, should not be done anymore, because God forbid, the child might hit back, inadvertently.
But it's also.
What?
You're not allowed to hit an adult.
Theoretically, so let me be megala something to you. What's interesting? There's a Gemara Makis. There's a Gemara Makis, where the Gemara talks about the following hechatimsa. The shliach bezdin was sent by the bezdin to summons you to come to court, and you're a calcitrant. You don't want to come. Is the shliach bezdin allowed to use force? Even corporeal force to force you to come?
Yes.
The answer is yes. If a child is in yeshiva and he's not behaving properly, is the Rebbe allowed to use corporeal force? Give me a bissel zetz over here. I wouldn't advise you to do that in today's classroom. But in the theoretical times when a teacher can let a child get away with it, can I use corporeal force to chastise them? The pasuk says, Chayisek shifta sanya b'no, Oyva Shachra Musa, a pasuk in Mishlei. So the pashtus is I should be able to do it to everybody. But the following. When it comes to a little child, Chazal, we're willing to tolerate it. When it comes, and we're not talking about over here hitting them to the point you're going to cause them to die. That far didn't go. But when it comes to the question of chastising an adult child who has feelings and emotion, is mature, To convince them to do something like they did when they were a child, hitting them with a strap or a stick rather than talking to them and trying to rationalize, Chazal said, what are you doing with an adult child who's 20 and older, who has emotions and feelings, and God forbid, might intuitively, because that they feel you're going to hurt them, basically, physically hit you back to protect themselves? What you're doing over here is you're abusing your parental privilege over here. Is with a little child. An older child cannot be held culpable to be dealt with that way. And therefore, if that's the case, Chazal said, when people used to act that way to the children, they were menad to them because you're putting the child in lifnei iver. So Chazal, therefore, were very concerned. I want you to know, halacha lamasa, if a shliach bezdin was basically speaking, pulling something to court, and they killed them in their physical forcing them, is that shliach bezdin chayv Rabbi Yisai to go to Orei Mikla b'teres killing b'shagi? Hear my question. I mean, the bezdin didn't say go kill a guy. He was hitting him, but he didn't realize this person is so genteel that.
Well, for example, Malchus.
Yes. So it's this. The Gemara brings this down. So the Gemara says over there that if you were justified that these blows, anybody will say it wasn't enough to kill him, but this person had a certain genteel spirit, that for him it was too much, even though it's Harei B'Shege, but since it was a Tzarech Mitzvah, there's no din of Ari Miklat. The Tzura of Ari Miklat is, you're chopping wood in the forest, which is a Rishus, you kill B'Shege, you chayv to go into Golos. But when you're Yisrael in a Mitzvah, summoning somebody to a Bezdin, teaching them Torah, doing something that's a Mitzvah orientation, and they never get killed, b'shagi by you, you're put even from Ari Miklat. So using force is mentioned by Chazal, but you have to use it with Seichel. A parent, parenting a child, once they become teenagers or after that, it's counterproductive. Unless your child's ready to kill somebody, then maybe using, force, lethal force might be in the picture. But under normal circumstances, you have to be Baal Seichel when to use it. Now, coming to the question of institutionalization. So that's the next Rambam. This Rambam is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Mem. I also want to mention to you parenthetically, Rabbi Yisai, since Kibud Av Eim undergoes Mechila, the Aruch HaShulchan says, there's an umdana we have that parents are not makbid if the child sits in their shul seat in the synagogue, if there are no seats available. So you come to shul, and people buy the seats. So you came to shul, there was a simcha, and the only seat available is your father and mother's seat. So he says there is an inferred mechila over the daras, that the only place they can sit in the public area is their parent's seat, let's say in shul, You don't have to call up and say, Mami, or father, or tati, are you molchami, are you molchami, is called an inferred mechila. Whenever societally there have been developed certain inferred mechilas, and since the parent of the molchamolcho, the inferred mechila could be operative. I don't have to have the actual request back and forth. There are shulchan paskins that way, Rabbi Yisai. It's very important. The same thing would apply, sitting at a table, sitting in your father's mother's seat. No, are they molcho under circumstances that you have to sit there? So that's a big shayla. We pass and inferred mechila does work. Now, mishenitra daita. This is the problem. In today's generation, especially as people are getting older and older, and it's interesting, a lot of the shaylas we have today didn't exist in time of antiquity because people never lived that long to have these shaylas. But today, when we have rabbis, people living longer. And then you have people developing Parkinson's and developing then other types of Alzheimer's or other types of mental deficiencies, to the point that the nitra fadaita, that you can't logically control their mentality or their physicality because they've lost their ability to think logically. So mishu nitra daita sh'ovim o'imav mishtada linhog imehem kifi daita. So if you're able to still handle them, you should try to keep them under your personal supervision. Perhaps there'll be some miracle take place to help them. However, but if it reaches a level, it's impossible as a pashut son and daughter to take care of them. They're totally uncontrollable. They've reached a total level of senility and such. You're allowed then to have other people take your place, to take care of them, k'roi lehem. And if you look in the parentheses, I purposely quoted over here the Radvaz in his interpretation of this Ram Hilchos Mamrim. He points out, v'adai tziv l'achem l'panasam, you just didn't forsake the parent and run away, but you gave other people the command to take care of your parents. V'zeh takanta sh'yesh lo ala ben gaguim, v'lo michsefa minei mash'en kein b'acherim. The Gemara quotes a case of an elderly woman mother who made outlandish demands from her child. And every time he came to meet mommy, she made crazier demands. Initially, she wanted jewelry. Oh, well, mommy wants jewelry, I'll buy you jewelry. She then came to the darga, she was in the late 80s and 90s, I want to get married again. I'll look for a chassan. The next time he was around, I don't want just any husband, I want a guy who is handsome, young, and resourceful like you, and I won't accept anybody older than that. As time went on, the request became more protracted and more adamant. This poor Amara realized he ain't ever going to satisfy her, so it came to a point that in order to prevent the screaming and yelling and the demands, he had no choice but to have somebody else take care, because the other stranger should be embarrassed to make the request for. When it comes to your child, there's no limits how far you go. So that's the source of the Rambam, which is the Ravaz quoting, that the other people, she's embarrassed to make these requests. For you, she's not. If that's the case, you might not have any choice. V'lamotzi ligabar, you couldn't scream and yell at her to stop her from doing this. Achemu could, since the Namuch even keep it off, it's not their parent. And furthermore, sometimes a person needs shock therapy. Shock therapy to help them out psychologically. A stranger could administer it. We don't want a child to administer shock therapy. Therefore, in that case, if you have to have professional help to take care, so today what people have, we have two options. Today, Baruch Hashem, you have a new movement of institutional nursing in the house. You know, you have these home nursing care. It's a big industry, a very, very, very popular industry. A lot of Jews are into it, making a lot of money at home nursing. So you don't institutionalize that, but you basically have the workers would have it in a nursing home. You have them in your house, you know, based upon your yichaylus. They need special beds, you put everything in your house. But for those who don't have that option, don't have that yichaylus, to put them in nursing homes or other places that you can do. But I always will warn people, before you put anybody any place, check out that place. What goes on behind the scenes, not when you come to visit, but what goes on behind the scenes, because no two nursing homes are exactly the same. I'll leave it to your imagination. And all I can say is that over the years, being a Rav doing Bika Chaylim in nursing homes, that was a very depressing part of the Rav's job. Because when you go there, and you're not the parent, you're not the child of the parent. you're visiting, and then I was ready for you to visit. When you see sometimes the way the nursing and the doctors still take care of the patients, sometimes they take care of them something, they ignore them on a level of a level Shein Kamoh. I once visited somebody who was in the nursing home recently, and in this nursing home, which is a popular nursing home in Brooklyn, there was never a person who was there, one of the people there, who was screaming and yelling on top of their lungs nonstop. And the nursing staff and the doctor staff couldn't care the least. So I said to myself, I'm visiting. But what about all the other poor patients over there? Hours upon hours upon hours, I said to myself, Rahman Litzlan, it's like in a torture chamber. I asked one of the nurses, I said, why didn't you calm that person down?
Always yelling.
Standard procedure. They sometimes drug him, sometimes work a little bit. But the fact is, you got to be careful where you put the rabbi aside, because no two places are the same.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.